1 Timothy chapter 4, please. We're going to continue to talk about building a godly life and what it takes to build godliness in our lives as believers. And I'm going to move along quickly tonight. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and we're going to read verses 6 through 16 here in 1 Timothy and chapter 4. I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. The Bible says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we talked about being in careful observance to the laws of God in performance of these commands. We've talked about this proceeding from a love and a reverence for the divine character of God. It's Christian obedience. It's what it means to be godly. And folks, being godly is something that God says that we're supposed to do. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If he is the one that life is all about, which I've told you before, that's the case, okay? Life is not about you. Life is about God. And so if God is what life is all about, then certainly to be godly just should make sense. Right? Are we not commanded to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Are we not commanded because God is holy that we should be holy? Are we not shown in Scripture that we're supposed to follow in His ways and His steps and His thinking? And I could go on and on. So we're supposed to be followers of God. He even at one point says to be followers as dear children, right? What do children unfortunately do? I say that tongue in cheek, okay? Because my kids are going to turn out to be like me. You poor souls. Okay, Nathan, you poor soul. if you turn out to be like me. If you turn out to be like your dad, you'd be doing great. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. Now, listen. We probably all feel a little bit that way, don't we? Because we know ourselves. But listen, God is God. Who would be ashamed to be like God? I mean, I know I wouldn't. I'd love it if I were more like God than I am. Because I'd be actually accomplishing something. I'd actually be getting somewhere in my life. Because success is not what I think it ought to be. Success is what God thinks it ought to be. So when he says that we should be godly, and that godliness is profitable unto all things, God is not just saying that to say it. It really means something. Yet we've forgotten, or maybe we just don't know what it really means to build godliness in our lives. So on the onset of all of this study, I'm just kind of quickly reviewing it about as fast as I can, going through and talking about the proper nutrition to build something. Okay, and I equated it to bodybuilding or weightlifting and things like that. Your body needs the right nutrition to be able to build the muscle structure that you're desiring, okay? That's just a known fact, okay? Our world is having trouble with scientific facts these days. And so that's a fact, okay? And that's how it works. So the Bible says here that we need to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Over verse 3 of chapter 6, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. So the words and the things that are in our lives, including the Word of God, the Word of truth, these are the nourishment to help us to be able to build godliness in our lives. Without it, we're going to have a hard time and a harder time building godliness in our lives. And then we talked about the godly contentment that's necessary. And again, this is not being satisfied with who we are or anything like that, but it was being content with God. Being content with how God made us. When someone wants to go into building muscles and building that kind of thing in bodybuilding, they have to find out what kind of body they have. What kind of structure in the bones. What kind of muscle development, etc. There's a scientific thing to all this. I don't have time to go through the books and books and books that you would in research for actual bodybuilding. You know, there are different types of people. Not everybody has the amazing physique that I have. You know, it's just not everybody is blessed. Thank you for the laughter, by the way. That's fantastic. But you understand that we're not all the same. So for us to go through the same programs, if you will, to try to build muscle would be futile, right? And so we need to understand that we need to be content. God has made me. He's designed me for this purpose. It's His purpose. And I can be happy with that. I can be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And then tonight I want to talk about this, the next part of building godliness. And this is the exercise. The exercise. So we've talked about the nutrition. We've talked about the being content and having godly contentment. Because we know godliness with contentment is great gain. And so we need to trust God and trust how God has designed us and built us and made us. But that's not enough. To take in the nutrition and to be, okay, God, you made me this way. So this is how I need to go about accomplishing godliness in my life. So I'm just going to let it happen. It's just not going to happen. You're not just going to let godliness happen in your life, folks. You're not just going to sit down and just all of a sudden it's going to appear. You know, because I'm pretty sure that if I just sit here and if I concentrate enough and I think about it enough, pretty soon muscle fibers are going to continue to grow and I'm just going to rip right through my suit coat here. That's not what's going to happen, okay? I'm not the Incredible Hulk, all right? I may have that similar physique, but I'm not green, okay? Again, back to the joke. I'm trying to make this as light as possible. But listen, we need to exercise. We actually need to go to the gym and lift the weights. We need to go in and follow the nutrition program. And we need to go in and we need to follow the guidelines. On this day, we do arms. And on this day, we do legs. And on this day, we do this and we do that. We do cardio. There's a program to follow. But you have to get in the gym and do it. We can learn all about godliness we want. We can study the Word of God. We can find out what God is looking for. But if we don't incorporate it into our lives, it's not going to happen. We actually need to exercise the godliness. Can I just say, I know more about what God wants in my life in the form of godliness than I actually exercise. And shame on me for that. And I think all of us are probably in a similar situation. We know right from wrong.
We know the things that God expects for us to do, but sometimes we just have a hard time getting in the gym. Sometimes we have a hard time picking up that dumbbell. Sometimes we have a hard time getting on the treadmill and actually running the 5 miles that we need to run. This is not an easy thing to actually exercise godliness, to actually go out and live a life that's godly. Easy to say, hard to do. And most of us know what godliness entails. Most of us know the things that God says, hey, I want you to live this way. I want you to think this way. I want you to do these things. And I don't want you to do this. And I don't want you to think this way. And I don't want you to go here. And I don't want you to go there. You see, there you go. The Baptist preacher, preach about all things that we can't do. Yeah, but think about all the things that you can do and should do that you don't do. You know, I tend to be the eternal optimist, okay? I tend to see probably things better than they really are, and maybe to a fault. But can I tell you something? I sure think that's a whole lot better way to look at things than thinking everything is bad. I guess I'm just happier. I just don't have a miserable life. That's just how I view it anyways. So those of you that are like that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I don't want to be unhappy. But maybe there's some things I should be unhappy about. Okay? But do you understand? God says that we need to exercise godliness. We need to live a life of godliness. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and continue and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you notice there he says that we're supposed to be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So how does God want us to live? In godliness and in honesty. Day by day, week by week, year by year, he wants us to be godly. He wants us to live a godly life. Why? So people can come to the knowledge of the Savior. So we can be a testimony. Hey folks, why do people want to be like you as a Christian if you're not a good Christian? They're going to say, most of the time, what's the difference? Now, if I go to I'm going to equate this to weightlifting and it's just how it is. You just have to like it or lump it. But if I walk into a gym and I see a guy that looks like me, I'm not going to go to him for advice on how to get shredded. That's a term. Did you know that was a term? I'm not. I'm going to go to the guy that's shredded and say, besides, you know, shooting up with a needle, how'd you get this way? Okay. Okay. Some of you understood that. All right. I'm not going to go to the guy that looks like me. So if you're in your workplace and you're just like every other employee, not displaying godliness in their life, why would they ask you about it? Why would they come to you for advice? Why would they come to you for the way of salvation if you're not even going to live that way? So we've got to exercise our godliness. We need to live a godly life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul says, I'm the shredded guy in the gym. Look to me, Timothy. I know what I'm talking about. I have fully lived a doctrinal life. I've lived in manner of life, in purpose, in faith, in long suffering, in charity, in patience. Hey, Timothy, I've taken it all on. Look at me. Boom. And he's not saying it out of pride. He's just saying, hey, I'm an example to follow. You've known my life. You've seen me in the gym day after day. You see me doing the bicep curls. You see me doing the squats. You see me doing all these things. And I've lived this way. Hey, not only that, I've gone through the persecutions. I've gone through the afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. I mean, you can just see Paul exercising this thing here. He says, hey, Timothy, these persecutions that I have endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And then he makes this famous statement. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So Paul says this, I've gone through these things. We know later in that book, he says, I've finished my course, right? I've fought a good fight. I've finished my, I've kept the faith. He says, Timothy, I've built a godly life. And he says, yea, and all that will live godly. God's not going to make you get in the gym and exercise your godliness. He's put it out there that that's what the path is that he wants you to take. But he's not going to make you do it. He's not going to force you to go in and exercise a godly life. He says, if you will live a godly life. If you will. Listen, I can't tell you that enough that if you go into the gym and you begin to lift weights, you will get injured. It's a promise. You're going to strain a muscle. You're going to do something. You're going to tear something. That's the nature of the business, folks. But if you want a physique like that, you're going to sacrifice. You understand? Those of you that know about exercise and fitness, you know what I'm talking about. Well, the Christian life is not much different. If you go in and begin exercising godliness, Paul says you will suffer persecution. These things are going to come. And we must overcome. We must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But we must exercise godliness. Here's one area where we can exercise godliness. And oh boy. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 28 and 29, the Bible says this. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So one of the areas that I thought about would be exercising godliness is the area of serving God. You know, most of the time, we are focused on serving ourselves. That's just human nature. Okay? We spend most of our adult lives, if you will, in general, serving ourselves, right? That's what the whole goal is, right? You gotta put food on the table, put a roof over your heads. That's kind of our focus in things. But doesn't God say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you? So we need to focus on exercising our service to God. You know, service to God doesn't necessarily mean being the pastor of a local church. Service to God doesn't necessarily mean being a missionary, or if you will, what they call being in full-time Christian service. It doesn't necessarily mean it. It just means doing with your life what God wants you to do with your life. That's serving God. Becoming and being what God made you to be. But here's the mindset. Is it about Him or is it about me? See, we ought to do our best for God no matter what the circumstances, no matter what we're called to do, we ought to do it as unto the Lord. And not unto men. So we need to exercise that. And guess what? If you want to find true happiness in your life, that's how it's going to happen. Because you're going to be focused on God and not yourself. And guess what? All these other things will come. In Titus chapter 1, Paul says this, Paul, a servant of God. That's how he addresses Titus as he's talking to him. He says, hey, this is Paul writing here, and this Paul man, he is a servant of God. Paul was a lot of things, folks. He was very capable. He was very knowledgeable. He was very wise. He was very smart. He was very talented. He didn't say, Paul, the amazing tent maker. Paul, the fantastic orator. Paul, the one who has survived stripes and beatings and imprisonments and death. Paul, the amazing. No, he said, Paul, a servant of God. He didn't even say, Paul, the servant of God. Do you understand his attitude? He was exercising his service toward God. He said, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Boy, Paul understood this thing. He acknowledged the fact that serving God was how you build godliness in your life. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before all the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God, our Savior. And Paul took this thing seriously. Hey, guess what? His contemporary that was working with him and sometimes against him, Peter. Yeah, my mentor. 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, Peter figured this thing out too. He knew that it was the right thing to do, to serve God with his life. He said, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power has given unto us, listen to this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He said, God has given us everything that we need to serve him in our lives. Folks, we need to learn to serve God. You know, the commendation and condemnation of the three servants in Matthew 25. For two of them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. But to the one that had no intent on faithfully serving his master, he said, thou wicked and slothful servant. You understand, folks, that God wants us to serve him. God is not going to make us serve him. He's not going to make us do the things that he wants us to do, go where he wants us to go, become what he wants us to become, but he's going to ask us to. He's going to provide what we need to do these things. But we have to get into the life that God has given to us to manage and to exercise and do it. You say, but Pastor, I've come along all these years in my Christian life and I really haven't built that godly physique that God wants me to have. What about tomorrow? Are you willing to get into the gym tomorrow? Or how about even tonight? Why don't you go ahead and get in the gym tonight? Start building that godliness. Start changing your thinking and serving God with your life. And say, God, my life is no longer going to be mine. I'm going to give it to you. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, however you want me to live, I want to serve you with my life. Holy and completely. And you're going to begin to build that godliness. And build that godliness. Because now it is no longer your desires and your wishes and your dreams and your fulfillment. It's all about God. How can we become godly if we're focused on ourselves? We're just going to become more Eric-ly. Well, I'll become more Eric-ly. You can become more you-ly. Okay? Whoever you are. More Mindle-ly. Is that a word, Mindle-ly? It is now, right? More Ian-ly. Who wants to be more Ian-ly? Anybody? Okay, nobody. I'm just saying, that's what's happening to us. But if we'll focus on serving God as we should, we'll become more godly. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 20 through 26, this is what Paul says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid." Remember what it said in our text? It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, and instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure, he will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." You understand, folks, God wants us to be a servant of God. And being a servant of God is going to build godliness in our lives. But day by day, and week by week, and year by year, we need to exercise. Not unto profane and vain wives' tales, but rather exercise thyself unto godliness. And one of the ways to do that is by serving God. Being a servant of God. Being a servant means that you don't call the shots. Being a servant means you do whatever is told you to be done. Okay? Whether you're voluntold. I've been voluntold in my life before. Anybody else been voluntold? Okay? Yes, hallelujah. Huh? Or you just know you're supposed to do it and you do it. But folks, I'm not the one making these things up. I'm not telling you to be righteous. I'm not telling you to live a pure and holy life. I'm not telling you to do these things. God is telling you to do these things. God is these things. And you don't want me to have to go back and re-preach all the things about the characteristics of God. We've already discussed all of this. But we must choose to be godly. To exercise it. Say, today, I'm not going to be a liar. I'm going to be honest. Today, I'm not going to look at those things. I'm going to think on the things that are pure and holy and just. Today, I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to go this place. I'm not going to say these things. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to act like this or behave. I'm going to exercise myself to godliness. And I'm going to serve the living God. He's given me 5 talents. I'm going to earn him 5 other talents. He's given me 2 talents. I'm going to earn him those other 2 talents. He's given me the 1 talent. I'm going to earn him that 1 talent. Because I serve God with my life. We have many more steps of building godly lives to cover. But I think that for this evening, this is enough. Probably more than enough to focus on. And it probably hurts even a little bit. But can I reassure you that weightlifting hurts? Building muscle, exercising hurts. And that's okay. Because guess what they say? No pain, no gain. It's true in godliness as well.